Chapter 18. In the Midst of the Fire. The proud monarch was surrounded by his great men, the officers of the government, and the army that had conquered nations, and all united in applauding him as having the wisdom and power of the gods. In the midst of this imposing display stood the three youthful Hebrews, steadily persisting in their refusal to obey the king's decree. They had been obedient to the laws of Babylon, so far as these did not conflict with the claims of God, but they would not be swayed a hair's breadth from the duty they owed to their Creator. The king's wrath knew no bounds. In the very height of his power and glory, to be thus defied by the representatives of a despised and captive race was an insult which his proud spirit could not endure. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than was its wont, and without delay the Hebrew exiles were cast in. So furious were the flames that the men who cast the Hebrews in were burned to death. Suddenly the countenance of the king paled with terror. He looked intently upon the glowing flames, and turning to his lords in tones of alarm inquired, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire?" The answer was, "True, O king." His voice trembling with excitement, the monarch exclaimed, "Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." When Christ manifests himself to the children of men, an unseen power speaks to their souls. They realize that they are in the presence of the Infinite One. Before his majesty, kings and nobles tremble and acknowledge the living God as above every earthly power. The Hebrew captives had told Nebuchadnezzar of Christ, the Redeemer that was to come, and from the description thus given, the king recognized the form of the 4th in the fiery furnace as the Son of God. His own greatness and dignity forgotten, Nebuchadnezzar descended from his throne and hastened to the furnace. With remorse and shame he cried, "Ye servants of the Most High God, come forth!" And they obeyed before that vast multitude, showing themselves unhurt, not even the smell of fire being upon their garments. True to duty, they had been proof against the flames. Only their fetters had been burned. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." A change passed over the multitude. The great golden image set up with such display was forgotten. Men feared and trembled before the living God. The king published a decree that anyone speaking against the God of the Hebrews should be put to death, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. True Christian principle does not stop to weigh consequences. It does not ask, "What will people think of me if I do this?" or "How will it affect my worldly prospects if I do that?" With singleness of purpose, the children of God desire to know what he would have them do, that their works may glorify him. The Lord has made ample provision that the hearts and lives of his followers shall be controlled by divine grace, that they may be as burning and shining lights in the world. These faithful Hebrews possessed great natural ability. They had enjoyed the highest intellectual culture, and now occupied positions of honor. But they did not forget God. Their powers were yielded to the sanctifying influence of his grace. By their steadfast integrity, they showed forth the praises of him who had called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. In their wonderful deliverance were displayed, before that vast multitude, the power and majesty of God. Jesus stood by their side in the fiery furnace, and the glory of his presence convinced the proud king of Babylon that it could be no other than the Son of God. The light of heaven had been shining forth from Daniel and his companions, until all their associates understood the faith that ennobled their lives and beautified their characters. By the deliverance of his faithful servants, the Lord declares that he will take his stand with the oppressed and overthrow all earthly powers that would trample upon the authority of the God of heaven. What a lesson is here given to the faint-hearted, the vacillating, the cowardly in the cause of God. What encouragement to those who will not be turned aside from duty by threats or peril. These faithful, steadfast characters exemplify sanctification, while they have no thought of claiming the high honor. The amount of good which may be accomplished by comparatively obscure but devoted Christians cannot be estimated until the life record shall be made known, when the judgment shall sit, and the book shall be opened. Christ identifies his interest with this class. He is not ashamed to call them brethren. There should be hundreds where there is now one among us. So closely allied to God, their lives so closely conformed to his will, that they would be bright and shining lights, sanctified wholly in body, soul, and spirit. The conflict still goes on between the children of light and the children of darkness. Those who name the name of Christ should shake off the lethargy that enfeebles their efforts and should fulfill the momentous responsibilities that devolve upon them. All who do this may expect the power of God to be revealed in them. The Son of God, the world's Redeemer, will be represented in their words and in their works, and God's name will be glorified. Youth's Instructor, April 26, 1904.